그렇습니다.
So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, text 11. Chapter 5 is entitled Karma Yoga, Action of Krishna.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Kayena manasa buddhya, sorry. Kayena manasa buddhya, kevala indriya api, yogina karma kurvanti, sangam chaktvyatma sudhaye. Oh, you have. No, loading, screensaver.
Huh? No, did you want to? I showed up a fingerprint.
Did you want to follow?
Sure.
You want to have a go? Technology is failing.
It's raining.
The okay. Kindle is struggling.
It's not a top operator.
This is what happens when the Kindle goes into spiritual ecstasy.
Should I repeat it?
Yeah, you can read. Sorry.
Kayena manasa puja.
Kayena manasa puja.
Kevalar indriyarapi.
Kevalar indriyarapi.
Yogina karma kurvanti.
Yogina karma kurvanti.
Sangam chaktvatma sudaye.
Sangam chaktvatma sudaye. Anyone else? Word for word. Kayena.
Kayena.
With the body.
With the body.
Manasa.
Manasa.
With the mind.
With the mind.
Pudya.
Pudya.
With the intelligence.
With the intelligence.
Kevalai.
Kevalai.
Purified.
Purified.
Indriyai.
Indriyai.
With the senses.
With the senses.
Api.
Api.
Even.
Even.
Yoginaha.
Yoginaha.
Krishna conscious persons.
Krishna conscious persons.
Karma.
Karma.
Actions.
Actions.
Kurvanti.
Kurvanti.
They perform.
When they perform.
Sangam. Sangam.
Sangam.
Okay. Sangam.
Attachment.
Attachment.
Tyaktva.
Tyaktva.
Giving up.
Giving up.
Atma.
Atma.
Of the self.
Of the self.
Shuddhaya.
Shuddhaya.
Sorry. Shuddhaye.
Shuddhaye.
For the purpose of purification.
Purification.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki.
Jai.
The yogis, abandoning attachment, act with body, mind, intelligence, and even with the senses, only for the purpose of purification. Purport. When one acts in Krishna consciousness for the satisfaction of the senses of Krishna, any action, whether of the body, mind, intelligence, or even the senses, is purified of material contamination. There are no material reactions resulting from the activities of a Krishna conscious person. Therefore, purified activities, which are generally called sad achara, can be easily performed by acting in Krishna consciousness. Sri Rupa Goswami, in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1-187, describes this as follows: Iha yasya hare dasye karmana. Manasa gira nikilas vap yavastasu jivan mukta sa uchete. A person acting in Krishna consciousness, or in other words, in the service of Krishna, with his body, mind, intelligence, and words, is a liberated person even within the material world. Although he may be engaged in many so-called material activities, he is no false ego, for he does not believe that he is this material body, or that he possesses the body. He knows that he is not this body, and that this body does not belong to him. He himself belongs to Krishna, and the body too belongs to Krishna. When he applies everything produced of the body, mind, intelligence, words, life, wealth, etc., whatever he may have within his possession to Krishna's service, he is at once dovetailed with Krishna. He is one with Krishna and is devoid of the false ego that leads one to believe that he is the body, etc. This is the perfect stage of Krishna consciousness. Translation again. The yogis, abandoning attachment, act with body, mind, intelligence, and even with the senses, only for the purpose of purification. So, this is a lovely verse because it's pretty much telling us, I mean, this whole chapter is karma yoga, which is, you know, yoga means to connect, to join, and karma means action which connects us to Krishna ultimately. And this verse is pointing out that, okay, so we have a material body, we have a gross material body, and we have a subtle material body, which is the mind, intelligence, and the body, of course, has the senses. But if we dovetail these, Prabhupada loves using this word dovetail, if we utilize these in Krishna consciousness, then there's no karma, there's no material karma, there's no action that is going to cause reaction in this world, because we're acting on a spiritual platform. It's not that we need to be in a spiritual body to do spiritual activity. If we're doing what the spiritual body, what the soul does in its constitutional position, which is serving Krishna, then whatever facility we use for that is spiritual, ultimately. Krishna is not discriminating between material matter and spiritual matter when it comes to service of Krishna. If we use a spiritual ghee lamp or a material ghee lamp made out of minerals from our earth, the Bhumandala, then it still satisfies Krishna in the same way. It's being utilized in the service. And we ultimately, we say in the spiritual world, all the Krishna's paraphernalia, Baladevi, expands himself in this way that he can facilitate Krishna in any rasa as the paraphernalia. Not only is he his older brother, but he's also his paraphernalia and many other things. But according to the Bhagavatam and descriptions of the expansions, he expands and expands and expands, and then planetary portion, ultimately you have Kshiradakshaya Vishnu, who appears in every atom of this universe and is the maintainer of this universe, of every physical atom, metaphysical atom. He's pervading every single atom and holding it into place. He's maintaining it, because unless he's maintaining it, then without the touch of Krishna, then it's not going to exist. Everything depends on Krishna. In this case, his expansion, Balarama, is expanding again. But my point is that Baladeva is acting as a paraphernalia in the spiritual world. And then in the material world, he's also acting as a paraphernalia, because he's pervading all these atoms and things. And we said it, it's like when you worship Krishna with something, it becomes spiritual. But ultimately, it is spiritual. It's Baladev. He's still the paraphernalia. That's why he's the Mridanga here and he's the Mridanga in the spiritual world. It's the matter of the universe which is being used in Krishna service, and that is ultimately is Baladev or maintained by Baladev. This is him, and we are here because we were in the spiritual world and we decided to experiment with being the supreme control and the supreme enjoyer. Christianity would call the original sin. Adam decided to do something that God didn't want him to do in his little Garden of Eden, so he was kicked out of the party. So similarly, we wanted to do something that's not fully kosher. It doesn't fulfill the harmony of the spiritual world. So rather than Krishna just kicking us out like an unmerciful God, he allows us to associate with the false ego, because we're ultimately souls and we're spiritual and we can't be touched. So to make it work that we're satisfied in the spiritual world, which is ultimately our constitutional position, we have this free will that we don't have to be there. And we can exercise it, and rather than Krishna making us, get thrown out of Vrindavan and like spat on and told we're a demon or, you don't belong here, he just kind of like, poop, we go and we sort it out. And we do it in this very minute amount of, this very small period
and we experience so many lifetimes in this world, and we try to be the supreme control, supreme enjoyer. Is that fit there? Where's the fits? And we do that life after life. And Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavad Gita, I think in the introduction, that maybe some other point, that when you want to be the supreme enjoyer, you become karma yogi. And you want to be supreme control, you become jnana yogi. This is what he calls us, the I and the my. So you have the iPod and you have Microsoft. My computer, iPhone. It's funny, the two biggest computer software, the two biggest computer companies.
I and mine.
This is their marketing strategy. Microsoft, and they very ingeniously thought, my computer.
Yeah.
And Mac, whether they took it off them or not.
PC, personal computer.
Personal, yeah. And I am, like, that's, they're like,
Mac,
we don't, so you can imagine the marketers thinking about this, like, we don't want them to just own it, we want them to be it. They want to be the art. It's not my, it's I. So these are the two things you had, you know, like, we go from male to female and all these different things from you know, boss to worker or whatever. We're just experimenting with this I and my all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, once we understand that we're a servant, which is Sanatan Dharma, Prabhupada says from the start, he often says, this isn't Hinduism, because Hinduism is a term that was created in some part of history, but we follow a language, Sanskrit, which is it was given to us from God, basically, this language. And in that language we have Sanatan Dharma, eternal Dharma, eternal position, eternal being, eternal use. I mean, Dharma means, like, the intrinsic nature of Dharma is fire. The intrinsic Dharma of fire is heat. You know, like, these things come, like, you think of an element and it has this dharma. It does something. So our intrinsic nature is, as a soul, is servant. This is our dharma. And it's not our varnashram dharma. It's not our, our purusha male dharma. It's not our, there's no money here. It's not our jnana dharma or all this. It's not our dharma as a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra. It's our dharma as a soul. Because these things, you know, you can be all puffed up and think, I'm a brahmana, or, you know, I'm a kshatriya, or whatever, but in the next life you may not be. Or if you're lucky, you will advance, but then it's still temporary. What's the point? You know, the python yogi in the Bhagavatam, you guys know the python yogi? It's one of my favorites.
I know the python yogi.
Python, I always bring him up. As soon as I heard the story, it stuck with me. He's this, Prahlad Maharaj is going around his kingdom and he sees this sage.
Yes.
Who's very plump.
Yeah.
And he's naked and he's lying on the ground. So Prahlad Maharaj very humbly says, Sadhu, I have a question. Why are you fat? Why are you obese? Why are you overweight?
Yeah.
Why? Sadhu, you know, Sadhu's always skinny, you know, always austerity. Yeah. And he says, I practice python yoga. Pythons sit here and they wait for food and they eat it. They don't endeavor.
Yeah.
So he doesn't endeavor. And he says, why? Because I've been king. I've been madman in the street. I've been everything.
Yeah.
And it's all the same. It's all just the material elements in a different shape, form. We say chewing the chew. You know, it's just goodness, passion, ignorance, or, you know, all the gross senses and subtle senses and gross elements and subtle elements. It's just these things over and over again. Threefold miseries. There's churning and churning and churning. False ego. So we're just constantly playing with this. We're just, you know, it's like you just got these, if you just take the modes, for example, just goes three chemicals and you're like, maybe if I just put a little bit more of that, it'll change something. And you just, you know, like you're like a cocktail maker, constantly trying to make a new drink. And it's all the same. And you've only got three things. You could make something a little different, but it's ultimately all going to be pretty similar because you're using the same three ingredients over and over and over again. Or if you want to expand it to the five elements, it's still just five elements, you know what I mean? So we're constantly trying to make this different mixture. You know, we stir it, we blend it, we make a marble effect with it, and we put some at the bottom, some in the middle, some at the top, or, you know, but we're constantly using the same
thing. Breath.
Yeah, an umbrella has a slice of lime on the top. Yeah. We're just constantly trying to use these things. And actually, Krishna later in 15:15, he will say, from me comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. And what is it, forgetfulness? It's that we're trying to enjoy this world, and we have to forget that we're trying to enjoy this world for many lifetimes. Otherwise, when we try this time, we'll get frustrated because we know, I've tried so many times, I can't do it.
No.
I'm just going to give up. And then when we don't achieve the purpose of coming here and we don't turn to Krishna, we just get really upset. So Krishna is merciful. He doesn't just want us to get upset in this material world. He wants us to understand that the reason why we're upset is because we don't have Him. We don't have a loving relationship with Him. And it's not material or spiritual elements that matter, because the soul itself is eternal. Whether we're in a body or not, ultimately it's service. We can, you know, that's why a wealthy man or, you know, Brahman's always like very poor because Brigid kicked Vishnu in the chest and Lakshmi didn't like it. But they're always very like renounced because the world is material. But you see Yudhishthira and Pandavas and all these kings, you know, that they're pure devotees. It doesn't matter, the material doesn't matter. We make it matter. You know, Maya is not material. Material elements and the opposite of Maya are spiritual elements. Maya is that which is not. We sometimes associate with the material universe, but Maya really just means something which is not connected to Krishna. And that is only
But that's not possible.
Exactly. But we think it's possible. And that's Maya.
That's Maya.
We think it's possible. Because ultimately everything is. And you know, everything can be connected in Krishna's service. And you say, well, I don't know. But there's ways. But the point is, we even focus on the I don't know is because we don't want to surrender. We're just wanting to think of what works and do that for Krishna. Everything can be connected to Krishna. And something that's not is not Krishna. You know, is not spiritual. Krishna comes to this world and he enjoys his pastimes. Because to him it's the same. In fact, there's pastimes here that are like quite, you know, they seem very unique. It's like a diamond on a dark background, but you can appreciate the beauty more when you see his pastimes in the material world. They say that's probably an example Prabhupada gives. If you have the diamond on a white background, you can't really appreciate it, but when you see it on dark, the contrast, you can see the beauty. So when Krishna performs his pastimes here, they seem even more beautiful because there is the material surroundings. And it's always like that. Like, you know, Krishna came and then all these things happened, eternal and amazing and blissful. But it's in this world that we're here. We're here now. And it's like, you know, this world just keeps churning around and like in its temporary nature. But this doesn't affect Krishna. He comes, he has his fun, and he can go on and he keeps doing it. So ultimately, this verse is saying, you know, like the yogis, they're not attached, and they use this body, this mind, this intelligence, and their senses for the purpose of purification. And then this verse is so similar that Prabhupada is pointing out in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. People use their body, mind, intelligence, and words. People who use their body, mind, intelligence, and words, they're a liberated person, they use it for Krishna's service. Yeah.
Is that the verse?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
there's some on the hard disk, you know, yesterday.
Hmm? Yeah. Learned a long time ago. Yeah. Was it your Bhakti Shastri verse?
Yeah.
So I mean, yeah, and then Prabhupada says like it, although they appear to be doing something material, and you see, I've seen so many devotees who do massive preaching programs, and they're just managing material energy, you know. Like they're organizing, it's nuts and bolts, you know. And our service, you know, I've done lots of preaching programs, and your service is carrying tables and setting things up, and you know, and using machinery, and you know, if you got your like your alternative hippie, which you know we're all pretty alternative in the Krishna movement, it's like, no way, man, that's like illusion.
Yeah,
you gotta go with circles, not with squares. You know, that's wrong. So material. But it's not about using, you know, material or using secret energies in nature. I mean, there's subtle sciences and then there's gross machinery, but we have to just use what we can for Krishna. Whatever is easily available. Krishna says it's not because he's like, just give me a bunch of leaves and a bunch of water and that's all I want and I want to make some mulch. He's like, no, whatever you have, you can use it. You don't have to make excuses that there's nothing to serve me with. Anything you can serve me with. But ultimately, you have to do it with love. And ultimately, it has to be service. You don't just give Krishna some things and you know, I'm getting out of here. You have your leaves and here's your water. You know, I've done my worship. Go away now. No, we do it because we love him and we're like, this is all I have, Krishna. Well, this is all I can spare comfortably, and I'd like to give it to you, or I'd like to at least just show you that I think about you from time to time, at least just while I spin it around and ring the bell, just at least for that amount of time, you know. And we chant, you know, we're offering Krishna his own name. We're saying, I'm calling to you every day. I'm sorry I can't call you more. I'm sorry my attention is so weak, but I'm trying a little bit, and I hope that pleases you in some way. And we know, like, ultimately he doesn't need it, but doesn't mean he doesn't complain. It doesn't mean he doesn't like it. We're made, like, a soul is maintained. Creation is passion. It's rajas. So we're shuddha sattva, purified goodness, purified maintenance. We're maintained by Krishna. You know, he's invested his unlimited energy, but he's invested it in us.
We don't have to do anything.
Yeah, but not only that, he's done it. Like, we have a purpose to serve him. Like, he didn't just... He's God. He won't maintain something that's useless because that's not perfect. You see? So he's not maintaining us because we're useless. We have some use. Okay, he doesn't need us per se, but he wants us. He wants us to come back. He wants us to serve him. And everyone is unique because that's our philosophy. We're individual. We're all the same to some extent, but everyone is diverse. And this is the argument of the Acharyas going on, you know. Shankaracharya is like, everything is just completely one, there is no identity. And Ramanujacharya is like, we're part of God, but we are individual in some way. And Madhava is just like, no, we're not even part of God, we're just individual. But he's emphasizing this point. Whether one is right or one is wrong, I think as far as I know, they're all right somehow, and it's one of those amazing... But the point is, he's saying it's like, We're separate because we're unique and that allows us to serve Krishna. And in teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Prabhupada makes a good point because always, like, everyone says, why does Krishna need souls? Why? He's complete in himself. And Prabhupada says, well, if he's complete, then he must be great and he must be small. If he's only great, then he's not small. So by creating infinitesimal particles to go along with the great, then he has both. And not only that, it proves how great he is in comparison to the small infinitesimal particles. So we're built for this purpose of service. This is our Sanatana Dharma, and this is what we've forgotten in our attempts to play Krishna, to be the supreme control and supreme enjoyer. We're going around, we're looking for our gopis and our gopas, and we want our Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj. We want all these things, or we want to be our Dwarkavasi prince.
A palace,
or Vaikuntha, you know, awe and reverence God, fear my wrath. We want these things.
Chariot,
nice. And in the Mahabharata, it explains how loud the chariot wheels are. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, you get really loud cars.
Yeah.
So the same trend has always been there.
Motorbike.
The rattle of the chariot wheels. So it sounds like, to me, it sounds like, you know, you kind of didn't screw the chariot wheel on right. And it's like,
But the point is, with so much noise from riding into the street, everything stops.
Yeah, you marvel in this chariot.
This sound is overwhelms everything.
Golden like the sun. I mean, the sun god is flying around on a chariot. Imagine this chariot. Just that, we'd try and think, oh, I just want that. And then once we got that, we'd go, no, I want something better.
That's a better chariot.
That's a pretty good chariot.
Best chariot, you know?
Best chariot you can think of, you know. And Krishna's going around with this. He's got all this opulence. But even also in the Krishna, he prefers Vrindavan to his opulence. But either way, whatever concept of God we have, the last slip of Maya is that you think you're God. You finally, I've realized it. It all makes sense now. I'm God. It is perfect. It works. Well, one person on the street, they came up to me and they had his headphones on and it just didn't look like he was going to stop. and I kind of tried out, and he saw my endeavor, and it looked like he felt sorry for me. So he stopped, and he takes his headphone off, and he says the perfect line. He says, "This is my dream." Puts the headphone on and walks away. And I was just like, wow. He just like put me in my place. Like, you, this is my, don't try to tell me what I'm, like, this is my dream and you are all just a part of my dream. This is how we feel. Don't try to tell me what's going on. You and your book. Don't try to preach your doctrine to me. This is my dream. It's not your dream. I'm in control here. So this is what we're getting caught up in. And we're thinking like, we often discourage ourselves like, you know, I'm so forlorn, I'm so conditioned, I'm this, I'm that. We are, we're in the material body, but that doesn't matter. The ultimate purpose is service. That can be done, anyone can do it. Even in the Ramayana, it's not the original Valmiki or even the Tulsi Das one, but there's one story with the spider and his carrying. And this is a bhakti story that's made by some acharya or some Vaishnava to point out he's doing some service. It's little, but it's appreciated. So we can't get mental out and go, you know, I can't do so much, or, you know, my back's sore, or, you know, I'm not such a good this or that, you know, but just do service at least. Because ultimately all these are material conditions anyway. Like if you're measuring your service on your material ability, that's mild. Really, I mean, if you're measuring this Prabhu is better than me at his service because, you know, he can run faster to the kitchen and get more than I can get, well, it's ultimately he's got better material facility. He's just using it for the right reason. So if whatever material facility, you just use it for Krishna. That's all you can do. Krishna decides based on your karma and your desire what kind of material facility you have, but you just have to make sure you use it for Krishna. It's going to change, like the Python Man says. You know, one day I was a king, next day I'm a madman in the street with no clothes and I'm just wandering around. But still, you have to use what you have. And that is Krishna consciousness. And that's what we want. That is our end goal. We're not against liberation, but we don't aspire for it. People can, it's a good idea, you go back to be with Vishnu or be with Krishna or whatever, but ultimately we understand what is supposed to give us the ultimate satisfaction in our philosophy, in our theology, as Brahma, Madhva, Gaudiya, Vaishnava, Sampradaya devotees, is that we want service. We want to be able to do some service. That's what we want. So our process is quite simple. We do service. We do the end result. What is the difference? It's just perception. Like we said, Maya is just a perception. So if we just do the service, eventually we will be purified. The yogis only use their body, mind, intelligence, and senses for the purpose of purification. That is his first. We do it. We utilize them. And eventually we become purified. Okay, if we're mixed at one point, don't discourage. Just keep going. And eventually things go away. The taste still remains. Krishna says, just keep doing it. The taste will go away. And then we just keep going. And then ultimately, it's like, you know, and you think back, you're like, I remember that lust I had when I was, you know, a teenager. It was burning inside of me. And, you know, it might still be there, but it's like this. Or like, or whatever, you know, like your desire to be the king or the rock star or whatever. It fades. Especially if you get this higher taste and you get some hint of what this devotional service is about. Then it's like Bharat Maharaj, he walked away like he just went to the toilet. And we have not seen in our world the wealth that he has. Like, he would just buy our planet, you know, like come up to the owners, you know, go up to the President of the United States and get the whole UN and have a big meeting. He's like, I want to buy your planet. Yeah, I'll give you $1 trillion. You know, I was saving that to get my son a toy, you know, but I'll buy your planet and you can play with that. Like, he, you know, ridiculously wealthy. They like, he owned not just this little bit of Bharat Varsha, but he owned the whole Jammu Dweep. And if you study Vedic cosmology, that's a lot more and a lot more opulence. But he just walked away. It was just like, still, why not? It's just material matter, and so still, We always get it done very easily. It's wet stool, dry stool, it's stool. No one uses that word anymore. Just Prabhupada and the devotees and his con still say stool. But, you know, not to say that, you know, we're just like rejecting the world and some escapers, but we see, okay, unless this world is going to help me get closer to Krishna, then there's no real point. And you know that even if you kind of dabble in your little bit of sense gratification from time to time, you satisfy your mind a little bit, but then you know, it's like, what was that? Can you remember, like, how many ice creams and how many cakes you've eaten? And can you calculate how that makes you feel how you'd feel now? It's kind of like, you know what I mean? Like, does it build? Do you get more? Like, every time you eat a cake, does it get better? Does it, like, can you taste something you couldn't taste before? Was there a little creaminess you missed out on? And every time, is the cake tasting better? Or is it that you get a good cake one day, bad cake the next day, that one's raw, that one's burnt, that one didn't have enough sugar. This one was really good, but, you know, I was kind of a bit full. It's like, it's constantly just changing. It's nothing really. Whereas spiritual life, it's getting better and better and better. And even in the spiritual world, it's like that. So if we do what this verse says, if we utilize our body, our mind, intelligence, and even our senses, it says, for the purpose of purification and abandoned attachment, and do everything for Krishna, then we'll ultimately find the happiness that we're searching for. And we have to renounce this idea that we're the supreme control and supreme enjoyer, and understand that our bliss comes from service to Krishna and relationship with Krishna. Any questions, comments, protests?
No, it was a very nice class. I only, but that's my personal hang-up. When I hear the word service, I go like...
Don't worry, I'm the same.
Yeah. I think, you know, love and relationship, yes. I say yes, love and relationship. When I hear service, I have...
Yeah.
It's a bad experience with service.
Well, you can ask anyone around in this castle. I'm probably the laziest person around.
Okay.
But, you know, like... The most service I do is like speak something about Krishna, because that's all I can do. I can lift some things. I like to carry people's furniture or their luggage up the stairs from time to time. I don't mind a bit of that, but I don't want to spend all day in the garden. I can't do it. I had a job, and I got depressed.
Yeah,
I'm mental. I was on the mental platform. Still am, but not as much. But yeah, it's like Krishna. Like I said, whatever facility you have, you do it. Like, if you're not inclined to service of the physical sense, you know, then you do manasa. Your mental service. Yeah. And you just think of Krishna. Thinking of, like, you know, it's like when your friend tells you, I was thinking about you. Thinking about your friend. And you feel kind of good, you know, like, yeah, he's thinking about me. Did he do anything? Did he clean your dishes? Did he take out your garbage? No, he's just thinking about you. But you appreciate that. So Krishna's the same. You go, oh, Krishna, I was thinking about you. He's like, thank you. He's very satisfied. I mean, I'm like, when your friend says something like that, or when they do something just really thoughtful, or they say something nice about you, or they learn something about you that they want to learn, get to know you, you appreciate that so much. And oh, if they do service, whatever way you can reciprocate with Krishna, he's happy.
Yeah, reciprocation.
I mean, he doesn't need you to do anything. So if you do anything, it's good. He just wants the love. You know, like, what are you going to get? If you got a, it's easy to think if you got a very rich friend.
Well, because my personal thing was, I was like, the more you chant, the more you read, the more you serve, the more you. Now, yeah, I was like, I had a sadhana sheet with everything I did. I kept them for 20 years in a row, you know.
Yeah.
And the more I chanted, the more hours I read, you know.
And then you explode, right?
Yeah, well, explode. Yeah, probably that's what happened.
You clean yourself off the floor. Because, I mean, this is where we are. We quantify things.
Yeah, quantify things.
Because we think the material is so important.
And then I get kind of, of course, the mess say, yeah, well, Krishna said that to you, right? Well, yeah, he, I said, what do you want from me, you know? What do you want, you know? And he doesn't really want anything from me. You know, he's satisfied, with a relationship.
Yeah. Well, you think about it like this. Like, what we say, we have Krishna consciousness 24/7.
Yeah.
It's like, when you dream, you don't even sleep. I mean, when you sleep, you don't even sleep. You're just thinking of Krishna.
Yeah, yeah.
And when you get up, you're chanting. And when you're not chanting, you're chanting in your mind. But even if you get 24/7, it's still quantified by 24/7. So unless the quality gets better, you're still limited. You're limited by 24 hours a day. So unless you learn how to do mystic, you know, because when you do mystic yoga and you're at the speed of the mind and then everything, like when you're in the subconscious, they say dream state, you know, you have a dream, it's like 1 hour and 5 minutes.
Okay.
So then you can do that, you know, but then it's still limited. Limited by your mind. So if you want unlimited, the quality has to increase. The quantity, and that's what I've noticed a lot. It's like people really emphasize quantity, and it's good though, because I should do more.
Yeah.
Quantity.
Yeah.
But quality is, you know, like I had a break at one point, but I mostly chanted 16 rounds for a few years now. But what really made it hard to chant was the quality is getting better. And you know, I had to go to mindful just to want to get up in the morning again.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I tried to chant more at one point, actually. I tried to, something's wrong. So I said, Osho Krishna, I'll chant 18 rounds a day. And I read 15 minutes more Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam. And I just crumbled, just tripped on my own feet. Because it's like, you can't artificially make yourself more Krishna conscious. You have to actually, you have to be more Krishna. You have to want to be a devotee, not just show Krishna how much you've done.
How many books you've done, that was a thing too. The more books you've done, the more Krishna conscious, the more purified, the quicker back to Godhead.
I loved it because I'm not such a good book distributor. I wasn't really. I was getting better though.
Yeah.
And my numbers were going up. I was almost at a normal book distributor level. And then I did 2 months in a row and we did a marathon. And at the end of the marathon, I was walking up to someone and I was like, yeah, I put a book in their hand and then money came out. I was like, I bless Nectar Prabhu. I did another 2 months the next year. Started off where I was at and I was down, 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 down to nothing.
Yeah, that happened.
To absolutely nothing. For 2 months, I was lucky I'd get a big book out or like maybe some days I did nothing. One day I did one Bhagavad Gita and it was to a Christian boy and he gave me a Bible and a donation, and that was the whole day.
Yeah.
And that was at a university. You know, so many young people, such opportunity.
Yeah.
And boom. But, you know, it's good because now I just don't think I'm anything really that amazing. So kind of got, Krishna forcibly injected some humility into me. I had to like rip my mouth open and slam it down my throat. And I was like, oh, okay, maybe I'm like, I'm not that good. So, but, yeah, I mean, because Krishna ultimately decides how many books you do.
I mean, that's why I always think about Krishna. Come on, Krishna. You want as many books to go out as possible. And, you know, but you're not using me really as an instrument.
And what's the real trick to book distribution? I remember every day when I was doing better, it's like when every day is a bad day and then you pray.
Yeah.
And then it's a good day. So every day you're in Maya and then you ask Krishna to help. So Krishna is just doing it and you're just being an
instrument. I also felt so nervous in book distribution. I chanted the whole day on the street between the people. You know?
Yeah.
And nowhere else I could chant like that, but on the street I had a chance. Otherwise, I can imagine.
Obviously, of course, book distribution is a great service.
Yeah, yeah.
And it can be, but. Yeah,
The whole idea, when you service it, and I was thinking, well, okay, what is going to Krishna, the best service, or to Lord Chaitanya? And he says, spread the holy name, or spread Krishna consciousness through all living entities, basically. That is the service. That's actually the only real,
Of
course, we're going to do it in many different ways.
Oh, there's so many ways.
Basically, by being Krishna conscious yourself, that's the first.
But you can't save others unless you save yourself. It's interesting, my father was telling me about, because in the old days when Bhavananda was his own acharya in Australia, they were raising money.
Yes.
They weren't doing books, lots of money. And they were good at it.
Yeah.
They raised thousands of dollars. When I go to Mayapur, often I get to stay in the concert rooms for free, these really good rooms, because the Australian devotees earn, like raise so much money.
Initiated Australian devotees, at one point at that time.
I think so.
700 initiated.
Probably, and it's probably going back to that now.
It's a nice country, Australia.
It's good.
Because it has as many people as Holland, you know, and we have maybe hundreds, you know.
Yeah.
They give us, Australian saying is give them a fair go. They gave us a fair go.
Okay.
And so But yeah, I mean, but they were raising money, and a lot of people blooped out because of that. It was the Krishna consciousness was finished. A lot of people remained strong and became really good devotees. And my father was telling me the mood was, this is for Krishna. This is, Krishna wants us to do this. And if you had that mood, you survived. If you didn't, you started to think, where's this money going? You know, this is some in, institutionalization. And you know, and there was that there to some extent, maybe. But as, but at the same time, you know, they did build Mayapur. They built it up, and that was it. And they remained strong. And there's, and a lot of these devotees are still practicing and still and they're raising Krishna conscious children, and still preaching and still, still doing everything they were doing at the beginning. And it ultimately has to come that you want to serve Krishna, and that's really like that's our free will, and that's the perfection of our free will. We use it for what it's there for, to lovingly serve Krishna. You can't do that without free will. Anything else? Bhajan crew's ready? No?
Crew?
The fan, the amp is on. Gajraj, Bhagavad Gita, key.
John.